Lord is funny, ain't he? He really knows how to bring us to our knees. The Word of God says, if you're troubled, then pray. It's pretty simple, right? Another word for troubled means suffering. My kids are going, I'm good now, praise God. Thank you, Lord. He still saves. But really, when you pray, don't pray like a robot. Pour out your heart. The Bible says that fervent prayer is righteous and powerful. I mean, it's powerful and effective. So there's seasons of our lives that the Lord allows us just to go through it, come to ourselves, to show us that you ain't got this. You ain't got, he'll put in situations where you could camp. You're praying ain't working. You're speaking in tongues, it ain't working. You're doing all you could. You're prophesizing, you're speaking. And you're like, what in the world, Lord? I can't pray myself out of a wet paper bag. But there's things about yourself and myself that the Lord wants to show us that he's not pleased with. There's things that have to go. And we're from heaven, we're on a journey, we're on a mission, right? Our mission has to be complete, whether you're at work, whether a block you live in, whether it's wherever you're at, you're in service, you're on a mission that has to be fulfilled. I can't say, Lord, move me. No, your mission is not fulfilled yet over here. Lord, I want another job. No, your mission is not fulfilled. Lord, show me, whether it be I have to tell somebody the gospel or whether I have to forgive a family member, whether there's something in my heart that has to go, hatred, racism, whatever it is, it has to go. And we can't move on until the mission is fulfilled. So that was the beginning. Oh, that's not the word, but the word is called the frugal follower. I was going to name it the Scrooge. I think I did the Scrooge like 2-3 weeks ago, and I didn't want to redo that. So I had to think of somebody else that was real cheap, but I couldn't. So I just thought, it said the frugal follower. When you're following Christ, you cannot be cheap. You cannot be cheap. Christ said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love is not petty. Love does not hold back. Love is not cheap. And glory is talking about giving to Samaria, right? That's love. It's love. It's different ways. I'm going to get into it, but I'm glad. Where's Mary? Mary gave me a beautiful text this morning because I was ready to give my testimony today. I thought the Lord was giving me my test. I don't feel like going on a Sunday morning, Lord. I don't want to talk. I hate talking about myself. And then he convicted me during the week. And he used Mary this morning to confirm the word. And the Lord was telling me something private about giving me a testimony in an area of my life. And I was ready to give my testimony. The Lord corrected me. And it was when the Lord corrects you, just humble yourself. Because sometimes we're so ready to go. We're so ready to go. I'm going to kill Isaac. I pumped myself up. I'm going to work. I'm going to this doctor appointment. The Lord's like, no, you ain't. You're staying home. And you're going to run through the door. Bam! Like the Kool-Aid man. Because you couldn't stop. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for this word. Let it be done. To you, through you, for you, by you, Father God, to bring you glory. That there is no mark. It's not Mark's word. It's your word. Let there be light. Let there be love. Let there be edification. Let there be wisdom and revelation, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We will start with Mark 8:34 in the ESV. I say ESV because I technically just read the ESV and the Amplified. But I'm open for all of them. Like, I'll go in the NLT. Like, I don't know if he has the ESV up there, but I'm just like, sometimes when I read something and it's not clicking in my brain, I'll go to like the New King James or I'll go to the Amplified, and it explains it better. Now, you could start every sermon, you could start off with this. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You cannot follow Christ and not deny yourself. It all starts with giving yourself away, giving your time away, giving your energy away, giving all you have. Did anybody ever play in sports with a team and you're around people, they just show up, they lollygag, they're not really into it, and you're like trying everything you have. You're like, man, I'm trying to win this game, and these dudes show up, they got the jerseys on, they got all the expensive equipment, and they don't even try. Like, come on. And I was like, what are you doing? I gave you everything you need. I gave you the Word of God. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you the armor of God. I gave you each other. Deny yourself. Self is your soul. I think, I feel, I want. I think, I feel, I want. I think, I feel, self, 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 selfishness. Give your thoughts away. You know what? This is the old Mark. This is Mark trying to manipulate. This is Mark trying to get out of this. This is Mark trying to control. No, die to your thoughts and line your thoughts up with the Word of God. You'll never have the peace of God if you're not thinking like Christ. What's the mind of Christ? The Word of God. You're only going to have peace with the Word of God in your mind. Meditate on it. I feel, oh, well, the Eagles won. Great. But if they lost, I would have hit the bar. I would have shot myself. I would have fought over a parking spot. Because my emotions are tied to something other than Jesus Christ. Money, right? I'm doing good financially. I'm the happiest person in the world. But what not? Uh-oh, where the Percocets at? I'm burying myself. Our emotions should be, oh, man, somebody got saved today. Praise God. Heaven's rejoicing. So I'm rejoicing. I want. All right, I want something, but the Lord wants me to give it up. I want to do this today. It was like, no, I want you to do that. I want to go in Walmart like Speedy Gonzalez and come home. No, I want you to go there. I want you to encourage people. I want you to hand out a tract. I want you to tell people about the Lord. Give yourself away. I remember the old church, they used to hand out baskets, right? Before COVID. Now everything's COVID now. Everybody's scared to get sick. But they used to hand out baskets. And I used to say to myself, they need to jump in that basket. Don't worry about your money. Your money's the easy way out. You need to put yourself in that basket first. Jump in that basket. Some people, you try to get them off their schedule. People with schedules are hard to deal with, boy. They think that you're trying to get them out their little box. You're like, man, you're going to chew my head off. I'm just asking for like 2 seconds. Calm down. Relax. It ain't that deep. People in a schedule need to come off of that schedule. Jesus had to sit and wait for the woman at the well. Sometimes you do got to move fast. There's times I was roofing and we had to take care of a lot of work. And if I sat there and lollygag, I have all the roofers hate me. I'm telling moms Jesus loves them and they hate me to death. But there's times you got to slow down. 2 Corinthians 2:15. Hey, this is Apostle Paul. But I will most gladly spend myself and utterly spent for your souls. So this is Paul telling the church, I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to spend my resources. I'm going to spend my strength. I'm going to spend whatever it takes. I'm going to give everything I have for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when I do it to you, I don't do it to you. I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm going to give you a revelation at the end. I don't want to talk too long. But when you bless God's people, you're blessing Jesus. Paul's like, I'm giving everything I have. I don't want to be the guy in heaven. Well, looking back, man, the Lord had this for me to do. He had a block party for me to do. He had the Samaritan for me to do. Israel needs help. I could have sent to Israel, send them money. The people up the street needed their bills paid. They needed their trash taken out. And I sat there worrying about myself all the time. You know, we could allow a problem to become an idol. When you sit there and focus on your problem all day and night and think about what the doctor said. Oh, I don't care what doctors say. God uses them. Praise God. Luke was a doctor. I care what Jesus has to say. I don't need the doctor to say I'm healed to be healed or happy. My joy is in the Word of God. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's with Jesus. Sometimes you could be sick and still get the job done. There's plenty of times I was sick and still took care of everything. Yeah, I felt bad, but the job was done. Paul said in Timothy, or 2 Timothy, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The drink offering was the last offering. All the sacrifices, when they were done, they would come out with the drink offering. I mean, I gave it all, and I'm going to continue to give it all. I'm ready to depart, and I'm going to give my all to the end. I mean, I know Alvin Iverson didn't win no championships, but what I admired about him, he gave it all. Give everything you have. I used to work with people. Say sometimes the job would take like a half hour to get to. We'd ride there, we're talking in the car, yakking. Time to work, they whipped their sandwich out. I'm like, you had a half hour in the truck to whip out your drink and your sandwich. Now it's time to work, and now you want to eat. Now, come on. Be ready. Be ready to evangelize. You might be at a restaurant or a diner, you know, and you're having a good time with your family, but the Lord's leading you to say something to somebody. Or the Lord's handing you to hand out a tract. Or the Lord's leading you to give the waitress a little bit of money. Maybe she's having problems financially, but you're so caught up in eating and yakking and talking and having a good time. And the Lord's like, calm down. I want you to bless this waitress. And you could tell her it was from me. Then down the line, she's going to remember that because she's having bill problems. Pour yourself out with no, Christians are not appliances. There's no, we're not energy savers. You can't say, and the Lord convicted me when I used to go to the gym many moons ago. I need to go back. I used to save my energy at work. I'm going to gym after work. I ain't working hard. I'll lollygag. I'm hitting that gym, boy. And the Lord convicted me. What are you doing? You're not. You're being a bad witness. You're not letting your. You're holding back. You're not an energy. You're not saving. I got plenty of energy for you. Do you believe it? I can do all things through Christ who if I believe it. Here we go. 1 John 3:16-18. 1 John 3:16-18. This is the simple stuff. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, in deed and in truth. I like here, we're going to read now, it says love. Love gives. Love is a giver. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. When you stop giving, you stop loving. Giving blesses you. It keeps your heart soft. It keeps you joyful. And that's a word for some of us. We lost our joy because we're holding on to everything. Our time, our energy, our goods. And some of us are heavy because we're holding on to everything. The Bible says, cast every weight aside. So when does my stuff become a weight? When the Lord wanted you to do something with it. He told you to do something with it and you're holding on to it. It becomes a weight. It becomes sin. Sin is a heavy weight. So don't just love. Love later. Oh, Lord, I'm going to lay my life down for you. Father, when Jesus comes back, I'm going to die. I'm not taking a mark, but you won't give up a sandwich. I'm spitting now. I can wipe my mouth. You won't give up a sandwich. You won't give up 2 seconds in your tie like you see a brother in the street. Give him a ride. Yeah. It's true. The Lord told me this principle. A lot of stuff I mostly 99.9% I preach, I experienced it. When I used to work roofing, when I was helping people, being more concerned about what they're doing and helping out with their projects, I felt like I was walking on air. It was the Lord showing me, teaching me. But when I was doing what I had to do, just worried about what I was doing, I felt like I was 500 pounds. Really, it really works. When you're into other people and helping them and concerned about what they're concerned, it's light and easy. But when you're only focused about your bills, your problems, what you got to do, your chore list, your food, become a heavy weight. James 2:14-16. This is the simple stuff. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So I like the one before in 1 John says love. This one says faith. This is the revelation. Faith and love. Faith and love. It can't out. They're like breasts. Don't think pervertedly. Think normally. They can't outgrow each other. Your faith goes as far as your love, and your love goes as far as your faith. That's what the breastplate of righteousness protects your heart. So sometimes you don't have it, so you got to give it by faith. Sometimes you do have it, but that person truly gets on my nerves. I don't want to give it to this person. But Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. The Lord's leading me to do it, so I'm going to do it. Right? Matthew 5. Is that 39 to 41? This is a hardcore one. But I'm telling you, when you give, especially evangelizing, that is a sign. When you stop reaching out to people and you stop telling people about the Lord and you stop being grateful what the Lord done for you, it's a sign that you're not walking in love. Because when I first got saved, I wanted to tell everybody, because I sold ecstasy before. Every day ecstasy, they would have goofy ones all the time, little ones. They would have like 1,000. And if there was a good one, I would tell everybody, yo, this pill is so good. And the Lord used my mouth when I first got saved. When you're all excited how the Lord gets you off drugs and gets you to stop drinking and put your life back together, and you stop doing that, and your heart gets hard, and you become bitter because I don't have the job I want. I don't live in a house that I want, and my life's not going the way it was. Sometimes we forget. We were on our way to hell. We should be in loony bins. We should be in nut huts. But I say to you, do not risk the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other side. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If you want your jacket, give me a shirt. If you want your shirt, give me a jacket. And if anyone forces you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. So that's your physical body, somebody slapping you. I mean, it very happens if somebody slaps you. That's your me. My kids just beat me up all the time, and I got to beat them up, and we wrestle around and play, especially Mercy. She's like a little Hulk. Oh, man. I'm scared of that girl. My girls are tougher than my boys. That's funny. But they slap you, they throw dirt on your name. You know those people work like making you look bad. People in the family, oh, Mark's the worst, oh, so they look better. So they people throw dirt on your name. It's part of life. They threw dirt on David's name, on Joseph's name. They tried to say Joseph was a rapist, but he still ended up at the right hand of Pharaoh. So none of what people say will ever hold you back for what God has for you. Let them talk about you. Let them say you're a false prophet. Let them say you're a fool. Who cares? Who matters if God cares? Right? If they want a mile, go the extra mile. You know? But you got to use discernment. Satan sees this, and he'll have people in your life wasting your time, wasting your money, wasting your... And our flesh likes to cater to swine for some reason. Our flesh loves the swine. But if they want a mile, if they want a ride, go the extra mile. You know what? I'm giving you a ride. You want a coffee? You don't want to stop and get something to eat? You know, I'm not just going to do the bare minimum. Did you ever hear the bare minimum Christian? They just do the bare. All right, Sunday church, I go to Sunday church, that's it. All right, I'm supposed to help somebody. I'll help this person. I'll do my good deed for today. No, it's a lifestyle. It's not for today. It's a lifestyle. They want to give the mile, go to extra mile. Don't become a bare minimum Christian. The Lord honors that. There was a time when me and my wife had to go to the hospital. She had to go for something. And the line was so long. And I don't like wasting. If you've been in jail, you get strongholds in your mind. I hate wasting time. I don't waste time for anything. I will try to be productive in everything I do. And I'm like, Lord, we're going to be here a long time. And I prayed, there's a scripture. The Lord honors those who honor him. And I pray that, Lord, I honor you with my time. I give you everything I have. I wake up early in the morning. I pray. And not much after that, person comes to us and says, you guys are up. I'm looking. These people look like they're going to kill me. So said, come on, you can't. I caught right in front, and I gave another testimony like a month ago how I was waiting at PennDOT, and I just was able to go in front of the line. The Lord honors this stuff. I'm telling you, God honors. When you work for God, your time is God's time. Your money's God's money. Everything you have is God's. They want your shirt. Give me your jacket. This is simple stuff. I'm not bragging. I gave two coats away. Nice coats this week because it's not mine. None of this stuff is mine. I would rather store my treasures in heaven where nobody could steal it, where moths can't eat it, than down here. And God's going to give more. God's going to give more. He doesn't stop. As we stop, when we start holding on to things, we stop. We put blessing blocking on ourselves. All right, 1 Corinthians 7, 29 to 31. Now this, I'm reading it. I don't know if he has the NLT. This is a hard scripture to understand. But for me, when I read it, the easiest is the NLT. But let me say this, dear brother and sister, the time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Yeah, I think he did put up an LT. Those who weep or rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them. For this world as we know it will soon pass away. Praise God. Thank you, Jason, putting the LT. It makes, if you read that in other translations, like, what in the world are they talking about? I like to do, like, they get married, right? Now you don't ever see him again. Like, oh, I got to do this with my wife. I got to do that with my wife. I got to do this with my wife. What's your wife, an idol now? Is she just an excuse or why? You can't use your wife. And Luke 14:20, don't go there. I'm just going there real quick. Jesus gave him a parable at a banquet. He's inviting people about the kingdom of God. People actually have an excuse. I married a wife I can't come. You're married now, so you have no legs. Okay. You can't do nothing for God. The same God that you pray to, you cry to, you beg God for this wife. Now, we could say husband, too. Women do the same thing. And now you can't do nothing for nobody because you're married. You're married, but don't be attached to it. You know, you're allowed to buy and sell, but you're looking at your Amazon. Dude, the package is 4 days away, 2 days away. You've got the clock countdown on your thing. Like, don't be so attached to it. You're allowed to be joyful. Right? The Eagles won. I still got to go to work. I still got to help out at the house. I still got to go to church. Like the things, my business is doing great right now. All right, it's doing great. Go to church. Help somebody. Like we get so wrapped up in things, especially when people die. It's just like we find ourselves overly mourning to the point where that we can't do nothing. You know, oh, my grandmom died 400 years ago. I can't do nothing. All right, she died. All right, you can continue your life now. Trust God. When we overmourn, we turn into idolatry. We're saying, I can't do nothing for nobody now because I'm weeping and I'm mourning. And you're really mad at God. Because God, sometimes it seems like God disappoints us. He doesn't. God is our Father. He knows what's best. He sees our whole lives to the time we're born, to the end. Really, he sees it 2,000 years ago. But Father knows best. He gave us that person. And we get to enjoy that person. And if they're saved, you can really thank God. Praise God, they're saved, and I'm going to see him again in heaven. So don't let nothing stop you, nothing absorb you, no weeping, no joy that you're so happy that you can't do nothing, you're sad, you can't do nothing, you're married now, you can't do nothing for nobody. No, live as though you're not. All right, this is a contrast. I gave Jason one, I ain't giving him another because it's just too long. I'm going to have to paraphrase some of it. Luke 12:16-21. Hold on to nothing. There's only one thing you hold on to. That's Jesus Christ. Go through your stuff. You know what? I got 20 pair of sneakers. I got 50 shirts. I got all. Let me go give it. If I don't know anybody, you should know people. God puts people in our lives for us to bless. Go to Goodwill. Right? Give that perfume away. Give that cologne away. I love cologne. God forgive me. And he told them a parable saying, the land of the rich man, this cheap, stingy rich man, produced plentiful. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. See, me, if you're a giver, if you got the heart of a giver, I'm like, man, I could give this person a church. I could give to that ministry. I could buy that person a car. I could buy that person a house. I could do this. I could do that. That's what this, the spirit of a giver thing. That's how we think. This cheapskate, and there's another one I didn't tell Jason, but I'm going to paraphrase. In Kings 17, 10 to 6, Elijah was sent to a widow. And she was on her way to die. There was a famine. They were eating babies. They were eating barks off trees. It was bad. You think it's bad around here? It was bad. So she's stacking sticks to make her final last meal. She was getting ready to die. Her and her kid. And the prophet says to her, what are you doing, this and that? And she explains everything. He's like, no. Make me something first. Then you'll have enough for yourself. And if you read that through worldly lenses, it seems like he's a TNT prophet trying to rob you, trying to get over on you. But he's not. He knows God's principles. If you sow into my life, you're going to be taken care of. The same thing as Paul, right? In Philippians, a lot of people say, oh, God's going to provide for all my needs. And we've really misquoted it. God's going to provide for your needs according to riches and glory. Because they were sowing in Paul's life. Paul's like, technically, I don't need anything. I know how to live with and without. But I want you to be blessed. So for you to be blessed, you're sowing in my life. Now, I'm praying for you that God's going to supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. Because I want it in your account, not mine. And the same thing with Elijah. Since she gave to him, she had plenty of oil and plenty of flour throughout the whole drought. So the contrast is, this cheapskate rich guy, he couldn't give out his abundance. It's like Adam and Eve. You're eating the one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, that you were told not to. You had all this other stuff. Where Jesus was fasting for 40 days and ate nothing. This widow who had a son, this guy technically don't have a family or nothing, she gave out of her poverty. And it's like the widow's offering. She gave two mites. Jesus is like, it's not what you have. It's your heart behind it. I had the parable for $1 billion. Oh, man, praise God. Yeah, Lord, thank you. I bought everybody a cheesesteak. Mark, you got $1 billion, bro, in the bank. You're buying people cheesesteaks. Come on, Mark. You better start adding up that ante. You better start putting up more. Come on, man. She was obedient to the Lord. The Lord sent her a prophet. And she obeyed. While this guy was just thinking about how he could just live it up. So where are we at? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 6:38. This is another, we all quote, but it's kind of hard to understand if you know the history and the revelation behind it. But you don't want to be a frugal follower of Christ. You want to empty yourself. But you need discernment. Not every ministry is from God. Not every person is from God. They support the fakest teachers online. These teachers wouldn't have no ministry if they didn't have goofballs providing for them. So we need discernment. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Praise God. Jesus in Acts said, it's better to give than it is to receive. Does anybody know why? Now, again, if you read it through worldly, it sounds like you're greedy and you just want stuff. And if I give to you, God's going to bless me. No, the heart of a giver, I want to give to you so the Lord gives back to me so I have more to give. Because I want more to give. And when the Lord gives me more, there's more people I could take care of. That's the heart of a giver. Now, I'm sowing a $100 seed so I get $1,000 so I can buy myself this, buy myself that, buy myself. No. Giving, keep on giving. It's better to give than it is to receive. Give love, give kindness, give time, give help. The revelation, there was merchants back then, and they would sell grain, and they would try to fit as much as they can in vessels, pressed down. And if they were generous, they would wear like pockets in their garments. They would fill your garments up too because they wanted to be generous. But the Bible says if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously.
My husband was a prophet. He worked for you. Now he has all these bills. He died. And the bill collectors
came to her. We're going to take her kids. He said, no. What do you have in your house? She's like, oil. All right. We have something. I don't care. You can't lie and say you have nothing. If you have nothing, you have prayer. And prayer is more important than anything. There's been plenty of times I had nothing, but I prayed for the person. And God honored my prayer. But she had a little oil. He said, all right, go get your neighbor's vessels, empty vessels, and keep pouring the oil in the vessels. And she kept pouring them. She got all her neighbor's vessels. She got a bunch. She's pouring them. And she ran out of pouring it when the vessels ran out. That's when she ran out of oil, is when she ran out of vessels. So we're supposed to pour into people's lives. My time, my energy, my teachings, my word, my strength. Now, however that looks like, what Jesus was saying was the merchant with the grain. Wherever how that looks like, I'm going to help you with your bill. I'm going to help you with your kids. I can't take care of my kids. Haircuts and sneakers and clothes. It gets overwhelming sometimes. I don't make enough. But with God, it's always enough. He'll have somebody come over here and help me. He'll have somebody come over there and help me. He'll have somebody come over here and help me with this. And that's why I don't mind giving to ministries. I don't mind helping people. I don't mind doing for people. I don't mind pouring out my strength. Because that's how the Lord works. But some of us really need to forgive. We're holding on to stuff, the Lord's showing me. And that is such a blessing blocker. We need to forgive. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you who you're not forgiving. You don't want to stop the blessings of the Lord in your life because you don't want to forgive people. But we give help. Give yourself away. All right, we're coming to an end soon. All right. Luke 8:13. Now, this is a cool one. I'm going to try to preach it on both sides. I'm going to paraphrase it. Now I'll read it. Now I'll paraphrase it. Women were providing for Christ. We know that, right? On Christ's side, you're always trying to stay humble. So God provides in strange ways. Back then, women were low. Women were not thought of much. And they were providing for Jesus Christ. So sometimes you got to get help from people that you really don't want. It's so humiliating. But Jesus had humility. It's people to help me. It can be humiliating when you get in the flesh, but when you're in the spirit, that's how God works. Now, this is the same Jesus that's feeding people, delivering people, walking on water. He's doing everything he can. Does he need anybody doing it? And no, he technically don't, but God allows it. Just like Paul, just like Elisha, just like Elijah. They were providing. So sometimes we got to humble ourselves and get the help that we need. Now, on the women's side, they're giving to Jesus. Now, if Jesus was here, right, would anybody do anything for him? I hope he would. Yo, Lord, you need somewhere to stay? You need some food? Yo, Jesus, can I help you? Can I go with you? Can I hand out the tracts? Can I preach with you, Lord? Do you need anything? Now, if Jesus Christ was here, would you hold on to anything? No, right. None of us. Not one of us would. This is going to blow your mind. You're going to hate me for this one. You should give anything. Lord, here's my shirt. You want this shirt? Take it. You want my house? Take it. Start teaching in my house. Whatever you want, Lord. Take it all because it's all yours anyway. Now, there's a bunch of conviction coming right now. Matthew 25, 37 to 40. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. I'll give to you because you're Italian, or I won't give to you because you're Chinese. I'll give to you because you're bald-headed, but I won't give to you. When you do it for Jesus, you do it to Jesus. When they were persecuting the church, he said to Saul, why persecute me? He didn't say, why persecute my church? He didn't say, why persecuting the Jews? He said, Saul, why persecuting me? He said, if you do it for the least of these, you do it to me. So why are we holding on? We should be giving Jesus everything, all our time. Somebody gave me a car in December. Like, God blew me away, and I needed to go to the store to get groceries for this and that. But there were times I gave a car away. Don't hold nothing back. And if you're, it's either lack of faith, or it's fear, or it's pride. Well, fear is lack of faith. Lord, I need more faith, Lord. I need more faith or pride. I want to give to some. I'll give to Jalen Hurts because he could give me Eagle tickets. I'll give to Trump because he could help me out in a courtroom somewhere. Like, our giving shouldn't turn into bribing, and it shouldn't turn into trying to get close to people so we can have advantage of them. No, our giving should be purely from the heart, purely to Christ, for Christ. So if you want to bless Jesus, give and keep on giving. I think that's it. Thank you, Lord. Father, help us be obedient to your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for convicting me. I almost gave the wrong word. How embarrassing that would have been, Lord. That would have been a donkey move and a half. But Lord, give us the faith. Lord, give us the energy and give us the wisdom to please you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.